American Christian. This is Pete Cooper.
And this is Dr. David Nichols.
And we are here to pump you up.
Revival.
Revival.
In the land.
Oh, my word, Doc. We are on episode 29.
Wow.
Can you think about that? Next week, we're going to start episode 30. 30 episodes on revival. It's incredible. I'm so digging this. It's occupying space in my mind.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
Because you're getting out of your mind into the mind of Christ.
Ooh. And what does Christ do but to bring change?
Ooh.
To pull us out of the city of destruction.
Ooh, transformation.
Yeah. Mm. We're going to talk about that, aren't we?
We are.
Because this is one of the things that really gets written down in Korea, is that there's a transformation that occurs that really kicks things off. There's actually two things. One was the Achan sin, and the other was the sin of hatred.
Right. But no, this was at the end of, after months and months of prayer.
Yes.
Where they kept gathering on these nights as high as 1,500 people.
Yeah. And the and there was this move from what was traditional. Man, that train's really starting to bug me, Doc.
Every time, listener, every time you hear that, just say that's the seal of authenticity.
That's right. But this kind of this going forward thing, you're right. I mean, the traditions of men were halted at Christmas.
Ooh.
Like, you just think about the impact. Yeah, the impact that Christmas has here in America versus what Christmas meant in Korea 120 years ago. That's big.
Wow.
That's a big difference, probably. I mean, there is a Christ following in Korea, but there's nothing really happening there. There's
As far as outreach and signs and wonders
right.
and stuff really going on.
Right. So these missionaries, they come into Korea, Hardy being one of them. There were missionaries that came in from Canada and from America, which I thought was interesting too, right?
Right.
Like it's not birthed out of the indigenous, but that it is
right.
it is fire that is sent across the pond, we would say, but
right.
comes out of the Welsh revival. There's other things that are happening in India, and this word is traveling over into Korea. What?
Right. But the Indian one was from indigenous people mostly.
Well, there you go. See, you can't put a this has to happen before that can happen.
One thing you can do that with.
What's that?
Prayer.
Oh.
Right?
Prayer.
Prayer is the constant.
Prayer is big.
So they're together in this awesome prayer meeting, finally culminated now after months.
Right.
And all these people are there, and this most respected guy in the church, he's called Elder Keel.
Oh, yeah.
Gets up and he says, I am an Achan. God can't bless because of me. He says, about a year ago, a friend of mine, when dying, called me to his home and said, Elder, I'm about to pass away. I want you to manage my affairs. My wife is unable.
Mm.
I said, rest your heart. I will do it. Then he says, I did manage that widow's estate, but I managed to put $100 of her money into my own pocket. I have hindered God, and I am going to give that $100 back to that widow tomorrow morning.
Wow. So when they say, I am an Achan, Doc, what's that out of reference?
Well, that goes back to the time of Joshua. You remember when they were invading
right.
the land?
Yeah.
And they had this great victory, but Achan hid the spoils in his tent. Remember that?
They were not supposed to
and
take
the
anything.
Next time they, yeah, and the next time they went out, they were defeated and driven way back, and then Achan had to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all that's the story from the book of Joshua.
That got ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
That's what he means by he was an Achan.
I'm an Achan.
Right. So there's a part to revival that's a little harder to listen to, because in America, when we think about revival, we think about, wow, powerful worship music.
A tent meeting.
Well, yeah, and it is.
Yeah.
And we think about, wow, anointed preaching, and it is. That's all good. It's all part of it. But the part we don't really want to talk about so much is that convicting power of the Holy Spirit that comes in right into the ranks of the church.
Yeah.
And starts to lay bare
yeah.
sins that have been committed and make the house clean before you're going to bring a bunch of new people in.
Right. And that kind of goes along, what can one man do? Well, one man
can give the $100 back.
He could give the $100 back, but a one man can also put a cap on.
Oh, yeah.
God's not going to move until this gets dealt with.
Right.
And so, listener, stay true to the word of God and listen on and obey him. Do what he's telling you to do.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's overwhelming and nearly overpowering, and sometimes it's just a still small voice.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a couple more of these that happened here as they launched into the revival. And here's one. A doctor boasted that he had one of the most honest cooks in Korea. And in this part of the world, the cooks do all the marketing, the buying the food and the,
sure.
all the household needs and stuff. But when the cook was convicted by the Holy Spirit, he said, "I've been cheating the doctor all the time. My house and lot have been secured by cheating the doctor." In other words, he ripped the doctor off for so much money.
Oh my.
He bought a lot and built a house on it.
Oh my word. That's a lot of dough.
The cook sold his home and paid all the money back to the doctor.
Wow. Who does Ooh. That? Who's bold enough to do that?
People that are in revival.
People in revival.
Yeah. A teacher had been entrusted to buy some land for the mission. He secured it and said the price was $500. The missionary paid the bill, though objecting to so big a price. Mm. Remember now, this is 1906, 1907.
Sure.
In the revival, the teacher confessed he had secured the land for $80. He now sold out all he had and paid back the $420 out of which he had cheated the mission.
More restitution.
Repentance followed by restitution.
Yeah, that was my feeling too. That's big, right? I mean, when you think about what's happening, and these are the accounts that were written down. I mean, and how many things were happening of the things that didn't get written down?
Well, here's another one that got written down.
Right.
Mr. McKenzie, the war correspondent, had a boy who cheated him out of less than $4. Now, $4, that doesn't really matter to anybody, does it?
Well, I would say not. You know, that, I mean, if someone stole $4 from me, how would I respond? Well, but if they stole $4,000 or $40,000.
It isn't what it means to you. It is what it means to them, the person who does it.
Right.
That boy, when convicted, walked 80 miles.
Oh, my.
And had a missionary send that money to Mr. McKenzie. Dude.
This is a boy. Wow.
He somehow got the $4 and walked 80 miles to have it sent back to the man he ripped off.
Wow. Wait. That's huge, man. That's a big deal. Families.
Yeah.
And then these acts of restitution seem to be an earmark of this particular revival in Korea.
Right.
There's this a hatred.
Oh.
This is the next one, right?
Oh,
I mean, we touched a little bit about it yesterday, Doc. And again, these traditions of Christmas are being washed over by meetings, prayer meetings. People are gathering together. There's an unction that's coming upon the people. They start to move. It looks like there's some traction that's coming in. So we come into the first of the next year, right? So this would be on a Tuesday night. It's January 15th, and the Lord deals with a well-known conflict that existed between a Mr. Kang and a Mr. Kim. The previous night, Mr. Kang had confessed his hatred for Mr. Kim, but Mr. Kim was silent, unwilling to reconcile.
Mm.
On this Tuesday night, however, during the service, Mr. Kim rose from his seat and came to the pulpit and made this confession. I've been guilty of fighting against God. An elder in the church that I've been guilty of hating not only Mr. Kang, but also William Blair, the Presbyterian missionary. Turning to Blair, he says, "Can you forgive me? Can you pray for me?" Blair comes forward and begins to pray, but he could only get out two words, "Father, Father."
Ooh.
And he could say no more, and then Blair described what happened next. It seemed as if the roof was lifted from the building and the Spirit of God came down from heaven in a mighty avalanche of power. I felt Kim's side. I fell by Kim's side and wept and prayed as I never had before. My last glimpse of the audience is photographed indelibly into my brain. Some threw themselves full length upon the floor. Hundreds stood with their arms outstretched towards heaven. And this key phrase, "Every man for God, every other." Each was face to face with God.
Wow.
I can hear yet that fearful sound of hundreds of men pleading with God for life, for mercy.
Wow.
That in his own words.
So you're telling us when hatred gets moved out of the way, yeah, inside the body of Christ.
Whoa. Yeah.
It opens up the floodgates.
Right, and I think one of the things that we didn't talk about yesterday was this passage. The one passage that I found through my research was 1 Corinthians 12:27, which says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." And 28 goes on that some have been appointed to, right?
Right.
Apostles and prophets and those workings of miracles, those outward signs, right?
Right, right.
But the thing of it is that 13:1 talks about, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love." I think that that's really the wrecking ball.
Mm.
I don't have love.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of the question really to the audience right now. How much love do you have for your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that you dwell in? Now, make no bones about it. If you are not gathering together with the other believers and you're getting your feeding from podcasts and from reading books and you're not coming together with other believers, how can you say that you're a member of the body of Christ? How can that happen? We have to come together. And are you abstaining from gathering together because you don't like somebody?
Whoa.
Because you've got this,
ooh,
it becomes right like, oh, that kind of ticked me off a little bit. And then that turns into, I don't know if I want to hear that anymore. And then that turns into, well, I don't think I'm going to go there anymore. And then that turns into, well, I'll get fed a different way. You can't get fed a different way. You need, I think that we need the body. Every member is unto the body and individual. Don't just take the individual part, right? We've got to come together. Believer, get back to your church. If your church isn't open, start making some phone calls. Find out why. What can you do to get those doors open?
Or find one whose doors are open.
Well, that was the case down in Chicago,
yes,
wasn't
that's
it?
That's what's happening.
Wow.
Pastor Mike McCartney is receiving dozens and dozens of new people because the churches around him are closed.
Right.
Yet now.
Wow.
From the COVID.
Wow.
Right. But so, you had one there, Pete, about this actually turned around on the missionary himself, this hatred thing. And that was an amazing story to me.
That we were talking about earlier this morning?
Yeah. And yesterday, too, we were talking about this. Where how can you go and be a missionary
right
to people in a foreign land and hate them?
Yeah.
I mean, that boggles my mind.
That was Blair. That, you know, did he hate him before he left, or when he got there, he was like, what is this place?
So when he got up, you read when he got up, what did he actually, he said he only gave two words, but.
That was it. That was it. And then to restore order, Mr. Lee starts a hymn, and William Blair writes what transpires next. That then began a meeting the like of which I'd never seen before, nor wish to see again unless God's sight, in God's sight, it's necessary.
Right.
Right? Every sin a human being can commit was publicly confessed. That was the outcome. You know, it's like one man takes this courageous step, like, I'm going to throw my dirty laundry, I'm going to throw a bucket of paint all over, right? I'm exposing myself. Doc, this kind of comes back to when you talk about the Jumbotron on the great day of the great white throne judgment, right? It's all going to go up on display.
You might as well choose. It's going to be on display. You want it now or you want it later?
Yeah, and if it comes later, it's done.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Right.
So, you know, we need courageous. What can one man do? Here we see what one man did. He came forward. And
but Blair, you said Blair confessed to the Korean people.
Right.
That he hated them.
He did. And this was earlier. This was like earlier on.
Oh, my word.
And so he was using, Blair was using this testimony as he went from mission to mission and he was starting to preach. He shared that. And that, what happened to him, cracked open it was like the hammer that cracked open every one of these places where people were drawing near and getting closer to God. Their confession started. They were confessing publicly, and that the face of every man becomes forgotten. That is crazy to me, right?
But that's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but Lord, I have to display that before everybody, not just once.
You'll know. You'll know by the Spirit if that's what you're supposed to
right.
do.
Right. Well, that's true. But see, you know, before I do this, those are the things that are keeping you from wanting to step forward because you think, you're going to be humiliated. Da, 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 da. No. What's going to end up happening is what is happening here, is that God is using that one thing where it brought in the river of life.
Right.
And it, like, breaking the power of sin. Right?
Right.
Like,
now, remember way back at the beginning of this American Christian podcast, we distinguished between personal revival and corporate revival.
There
are some of these sins that are necessary to confess personally, you and the Lord, for you to have personal revival. But we're learning from Korea here.
Yes.
Corporate revival is going to require going before the corporate body.
Doc, that's brilliant.
And really laying it out there for everybody and just bearing your soul to the Lord. The reason you can do that, and you're right, it's very hard to do, but if you do it first to the Lord, it's almost like, well, the people are there and they're hearing it too.
Yeah, but does it matter that they hear anything?
Well, it does matter, though, because there's a grace.
Right.
And there's a mercy that comes forth, and you forgive each other, especially like these two guys. This is a personal issue between the two of them.
Right.
But it's clogging up the pipe for the power and glory of God to come through.
Right.
Now, you told me, Pete, a testimony here earlier this morning. You actually saw something like this.
Yeah, this.
When you were with Breakthrough Ministries down in the Twin Cities.
We were in Burnsville. Our headquarters were in Burnsville at the time. And we were just exposed to treasure hunting with Kevin Dedman.
Treasure hunting is awesome.
It is awesome. It is so much fun. It is so incredible. So I won't go into what treasure hunting is, but basically it's the Lord reveals certain clues. You write those down, and then you go look for those clues. And that treasure is a person. So we're all sitting in our separate offices, and we're like, hey, we're going to go on a treasure. Let's go on a treasure hunt today. Okay, yeah, so whatever comes to your mind, just shout it out. I'll write it down. That's what I'm saying from my office, right? And all these clues start coming in between the founder, Dave Engman, and another man that's in our office. So I'm writing these clues down. Aerosmith. I'm like, Aerosmith. I write down Aerosmith. Wild horses. And I'm writing down wild horses. And then there was a hat color, whatever this particular hat color was. And there were some other things that were said out loud. But I'm chuckling to myself, Doc. I tell you, I'm kind of chuckling like, Aerosmith, really? Wild horses, really? Those are like Rolling Stones songs, Aerosmith, the band, you know. I'm like, man, that doesn't make any sense. But, oh, that's okay. We'll do it.
Right, and like the primary focus of Breakthrough Ministries is like ministering to homeless people.
Homeless people. Like right. we're going to go try to find this particular person. Right. We didn't think that they would be down at the shelter. For some reason, that was like they were walking the street and where were we going to find them? So we get in the car and we drive down to St. Paul and we get off in 7th Street and there's like there is nobody. There's nobody on the street. It's 11:30 in the morning and we're like, "Wow, this is really weird. Like, why are we getting out right here? There's like nobody." So we start walking the streets and we're trying to maybe somebody'll come out. Nothing. We come back together and we're like, "Dude, it's not here. This isn't the place. Let's go somewhere else." So the idea was to go down to Rice Park. So we go to Rice Park. We get out, and there's a bunch of people at Rice Park, and we're like, oh, this is going to be it. This will be the place, because there are a bunch of people. They're out walking their dogs, and they're couples, and, you know, that
kind of. So you're looking for somebody rocking out on Aerosmith.
Maybe somebody's listening there. What are you listening to? Right, yeah, that's a good point, because people had earbuds in the day. So what are you listening to? We're still looking for the hat colors, you know, because those were usually big indicators that you would find that person, or you'd see an Aerosmith t-shirt, hey. And you'd be like, yeah, this is great. Woo. We were down there till probably 2:30. We went through lunch waiting to
you
see.
You guys it. Were persistent.
We were persistent. We were there. Man, we just knew. We just knew. You know about just knowing. You get a word from the Lord, and you just know. Right. And then you don't get anything, Doc. What do you do? Well, we just had to put a conclusion to the day. We got back in the car, and we were just like, wow, that's really weird. Yeah, I was really certain that we're blah, blah, blah. You're all the way back to Burnsville. We get out, say our goodbyes. The guy from our other office guy ends up leaving. He was one of our outreach guys, and he leaves, and Dave and I were just like, yeah, that's really weird. Yeah, that's really weird. All of a sudden, we get a phone call about 15 minutes later. This guy calls. He calls us. He just left us. He calls us from his car, and he's weeping and crying, and he says, I'm the guy. I'm the guy we're looking for.
The guy that was out with you on the treasure hunt.
Yeah. He's like, I'm the guy. And I thought, oh, gee, you know, come on. This isn't about you. This was about finding a homeless guy, right? That's what I'm thinking. And he's sobbing, and he's like, I got to come back. I got to let me explain it to you. So he comes back, and he gets back into the office, Doc, and he's weeping.
And so these clues, though, this is what I love about this story. Yeah. Aerosmith. The guy makes his own arrows.
Who makes your own arrows, right? The clue that gave
he's
it away.
He's a Native American and he's a guy, Native American, so he knows how to do this.
He knows how to do this. He hunts. He's a bow hunter.
Right.
So, but the thing that ticked it off for him was that he drove an old Bronco. And on the emblem, on the steering wheel, were these wild horses.
Dude.
And he was like, oh, my word, I'm the guy. I drive a Bronco. Those are wild horses. And then the Aerosmith thing comes in. And then there were these other clues that kind of came along with it. The hat, the color of the hat was his color of his hat. It was him. And we didn't even see it.
We were there all day long.
There we are. And it was just peculiar. But so he's sobbing and he's like, this sin, I have to release this sin. I have a hidden sin. And I'm thinking, oh, no, now what? Because you're thinking.
Yeah, you ripped off the ministry.
Terrible, and these were his words. I hate homeless people.
Oh, my word, Pete.
And he used
this. Just like the Korea guy.
Just like the Korea guy. He's sobbing. He says, this is the reason why I think that we're having trouble. And, you know, he was kind of carrying the weight of it, and he was just sobbing. But, Doc, after that time, I want you to know that this man ended up going into street ministry. He started his own ministry.
Wow.
His own street ministry. So he was with
street people.
To street people.
Wow.
Yeah. I forget what the name of his ministry is, like Streets of Hope or something like that. Crazy. But he really connected well. And when he said that he hated them, I really found it peculiar because he was like always talking. I mean, people liked talking to him, but he hated them. So this was the kickoff. This was something, right, that we see that happens in Korea that we haven't seen this in in the other few revivals that were documented as being an earmark to that revival was the hatred, and there's this not only towards a group of people, I hate Koreans,
ooh,
right? But there was this also, like you were talking about the personal revival, like
right.
I have an issue with this man.
Right.
And
one man with another man.
Yeah, right. Can you pray for me?
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So the reason God moves in and reveals these things is to clear the way and to open the doors, you could say, to unclog the pipes so that the power and glory of God could come in. You know, here's a couple more that happened in the Korean revival there. It says, a woman who for days seemed to pass through the agonies of hell confessed one evening in a public meeting to the sin of adultery. The missionary in charge of the meeting was greatly alarmed, for he knew that her husband was present and knew that if that husband killed her, he would be in accord with the Korean law. That husband, in tears, went over and knelt beside his sinning wife and forgave her. How the Lord Jesus was glorified as he said to that woman, sin no more, just like in the Bible.
Wow.
Oh, my word. But this one really bridges out into something here, Pete. I'd like, if you don't mind, I'd like to close with this one. Because as these pipes start to get cleared out and the doors that were held shut by hatred inside the church.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not talking about hatred of the lost or hatred of, you know,
wicked men.
Wicked men for one another.
Yeah.
We're talking about inside the church.
Come on. This is good.
It opens the door and unclogs the pipe so that the outreach can come.
Mm.
And it's not this big struggle. It's not this big program. You ride on that tide, that wave of the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says. Such ordinary happenings could not but move the multitude, and the churches became crowded. When they saw these kinds of things happen, like this husband forgiving his wife.
Yeah.
And it says, many came to mock, but in fear they began to pray.
Ooh.
The leader of a robber band who came out of idle curiosity was convicted and converted and went straight to the magistrate and gave himself up. The astonished official said, he turns himself into the cops, to the court. He says, I'm the guy. That's conviction.
Yeah, amen.
The astonished official said, you have no accuser, you accuse yourself. We have no law in Korea to meet your case. And so he dismissed him.
What? We have no such law? But he knew he was doing wrong.
But he turned himself in and nobody else accused him of anything. So he walked free. Wow.
Wow. That indeed is the thing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. You know, you said something there just for a second. It's not about programs, people. We're not working with bringing a certain program into a church or a certain curriculum or catechism. Mm-hmm. We're not bringing in. These are things that are happening very organically as the Spirit of God moves into the hearts of men and women. Things begin to change. Don't discount your own prayer or gathering together with others to pray.
That's right. And when revival comes, can it have racial implications? America in 2021?
Come on.
Does America need some healing in racial relations?
Yes.
A Japanese officer at the time of the revival was quartered in Pyongyang. He had imbibed the agnostic ideas of the West. Therefore, to him, spiritual things were beneath contempt.
Mm.
Now, at this point, the Japanese had invaded and occupied Korea.
Right.
And there was a strong racial animosity between the two groups. You can imagine. They were there as the military oppressors. It says, still, the strange transformations which were taking place not only among great numbers of the Koreans, but even among some Japanese, the military oppressors, they were getting saved in this revival.
Yeah, and they were battling against the Chinese.
Right.
Which was,
is you like Koreans a three-way are just the... deal. It's like, yeah,
yeah,
militarily.
Yeah.
But it said even some Japanese who could not possibly understand the language so puzzled him that he attended the meetings to investigate. The final result was that all his unbelief was swept away and he became a follower of the Lord Jesus. While he's on assignment from an enemy army invading and occupying a land, Jesus reaches in and saves him and uses the people he's there to kill, basically, the Koreans and their revival, and he gets saved.
It doesn't even understand the language,
oh,
but
word.
Still goes in.
And gets God's, saved.
And gets saved. That's the gospel.
That's the power of God.
That's the power of God.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for these stories from the recent past and even from the more distant past, Lord, in Korea. And we say, do it again, Lord.
Yes.
Do it again, Lord. Sweep into America. Lord, each one of these listeners here today, do it in their life world.
Yes.
Do it in their set of experiences and relationships. Lord, where the mercy and the compassion and the power and even miracles begin to break out as they go about their everyday lives.
Yes.
Lord, a vision for your glory to sweep into America. And we ask you to do this in the name of Jesus.
Mm. Lord, let us understand that though we can speak with clever tongues or we can interpret or prophesy and do these things like your word says, but if we have not love, we become this sounding brass or clanging cymbal.
Help us, Lord.
Lord, put love. Let love ignite in the hearts of your listeners. Lord, in the region that we are listening from, Lord, let these people be a catalyst, Lord, the catalyst of love. And Lord, let it go forth and spring and open up those arteries, Lord, so that your love and your word, Lord, can go deep into regions individually and corporately. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow, Doc.
And remember, listener, we're here just trying to bring the message of revival to you each time. Again, we have, if you're just starting with us now, we have a book we'd love to send you. Do You Want Revival? Written by Pastor Eric Hansen. And it'll bless you. It'll goad you on into revival. All you have to do is send in a request. info@heartofthefather.net would be the email. You can call in 320-566-1144, and those just go on our website. It's another way to do it. So God bless you, and we'll see you next time.